The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome to the Cambridge Marketing Podcast. This week we are considering audio and its use in communications. And my guest is Alan Anstead, College Fellow and PR Guru. Alan, welcome back to the show. You are very keen on audio to be considered as part of the communications mix. Can you tell me a bit more why you think that?
Thank you, Karen, and delighted to be back on the show. Now, I think audio has a very important role in the communications mix, the things that an organisation should think about so that it can communicate effectively with its audiences. And I think that could be around branding and differentiation. It could just be around effective communications and thinking about accessible communications so that are inclusive.
Okay, let's take those in turn. So tell me a little bit more about the use of audio for branding and making an organisation stand out.
Audio has been used by some companies as for branding, so sonic branding, for a number of years. And example I would give is to make the noise, something like diddly-dee, diddly-dee, diddly-dee-dee. And many people, particularly those of a certain age, will recognise that immediately as a Nokia phone ringtone. As all Nokia phones that came out when mobile phones were becoming very popular, that were Nokia, had that particular ringtone. It became Nokia. And it was even satired by Dom Jolly, a comedian who had a show on television where he would walk around in front of important parts of London with this massive inflatable mobile phone and speak very loudly into it. And it always started with diddly do diddly do diddly, and then Dom would be going, hello, hello. And there was lots of complaints at that time of people speaking very loudly into their mobile phones on trains and buses and things. Well, you know, that was a very prominent early one, but it's still used a lot today. Think of McDonald's and you know, end of their adverts, always with that little jingle that's there. You know it's McDonald's. And I think it's even been developed further by different organisations. So IKEA introduced last year its catalogue as an audio-only version and not environmentally friendly, not having those printed catalogues, an audio version of that available through Spotify and all the other different sources. Think of electric cars. They don't make much noise, no brum, brum, brum. And BMW replaced that in the interior cockpit of the car with interactive soundscape that's been specially recorded for a BMW car. You know, all part of creating sonic branding. And I think some of those examples are interesting. You might say it's just for big brands. Well, I don't think it is. I think it's about thinking, well, if you've got sonic branding, how could one use it? Putting it at the end of a short video on a social media post, perhaps even putting it after someone purchased something online, that jingle will come. Or if someone logs into your app, that they will get that while they're logging in, that sonic branding, that reminder of the company, organisation that they're dealing with.
So I'm fascinated by the BMW interactive soundscape. Is that for the driver when you get into the car?
Yes, exactly. And the occupants of the car. So, you know, Whereas those who like cars, for example, would like to listen to the engine revving and things, well, mm-hmm. with electric car, you haven't really got that. Mm-hmm. So it's been replaced by a specially recorded soundscape that gives that sort of immersive feeling of travelling that will change, you know, as the driving, the speed and other things happen within the car. BMW decided that would make something special for their vehicles and also be special for BMWs. It comes under sonic branding.
Okay, so that's sort of using sound to differentiate yourself as part of your branding. As you said, it's part of the logo. But you also mentioned using audio as part of being inclusive in your communications.
Yeah, I think inclusive and accessible communications is an important topic. It's one that every organisation should be thinking about. For public sector organisations or charities that receive money from government, it's actually a legal requirement under the Equality Act that they do have accessible and inclusive communications. But I think it's part of effective communications to make sure that all of your audiences, all of your stakeholders can actually access the communications that you're putting out. And if we think about the number of people, take the UK, that have some kind of impairment, whether that be visual, whether that be hearing impairment, whether that be a reading impairment, it shows that is quite a large group of people, that it shows that we need to think through how to make our communications accessible. And audio has a role there, of course, for blind or visually impaired people. They will want to have audio. Yes, they will have computers that can machine read text, not all text. PDFs are not readable, but HTML, Word documents and things will be read. But they will prefer just to be able to hear that. So one has to think through how can one make one's communications more accessible.
Is the idea that you produce communications in an audio format, or is there something else I should be thinking about doing to make the communications accessible audially?
Yes, and also you can think about something that's an audio format to make it perhaps for others who can't hear accessible as well by having a narrative. For example, some podcasts you'll see there's the podcast buttons, you can listen to it, and underneath that will be a verbatim narrative of the account. It makes it more inclusive to everyone and also people's preferences. And those preferences, those trends have been slowly evolving over the years. We are, as a nation, we prefer to either watch or listen to communications, messages, whatever it may be, than we are to read them nowadays, particularly against reading on screen. And therefore, audio has a role in that, in making it more accessible, in being able to get the message across, to cut through all the noise and other interferences that are out there.
Yes, I think the interesting part about using audio is one tends to think of it as not being so easily searchable. But I'm wondering if that's still the case with people now using things like smart speakers.
Yeah, and smart speaker usage, ownership, if you like, in the UK has rocketed quite dramatically over the last year. Perhaps not surprising, lots of people working from home. And as a nation, per household, we now have more smartphones than per capita than America. There's 20 million smart speaker users in the UK last year. And many of those smart speaker users will be using voice search. They'll be talking to their smart speaker, asking it questions, asking it to do things. And within that, the algorithms that will work will also not just be using text on web pages and other things, but will also be using audio and sometimes relaying that back via the search engine in a voice search. So having snippets, clips of voice can be really useful in terms of search as well.
Yes, that's very interesting because one tends to think of search engines and SEO as being very much sort of tagging your words. But I hadn't really appreciated that tagging the audio could also be important for the smart speaker usage.
Yeah, absolutely. Another trend we've seen is audio networking an increase. It started off with Clubhouse, set itself up as this exclusive sort of service, but quickly copied by other social media platforms. So LinkedIn is developing its own audio networking system, Facebook as well with its hotline, Twitter developing its spaces to be more of an audio networking space to fit with people's needs, people's desires for how they can get information, how they can engage with people.
Okay, so for someone like me who's not used something like Clubhouse, what exactly does Clubhouse do?
Yeah, and neither have I. I've never been invited. But the idea is it's a chat room and there'll be a chat about a particular topic that people who are part of Clubhouse, who've been invited to join, can join and join in that discussion. And some of them could be fairly academic discussions that go into great detail. Some of them could be just talking about events or other things.
So, Alan, have you any other thoughts or suggestions as to how companies can incorporate audio into their communications?
Yeah, well, audio would need to be appropriate for the organisation, but it has many uses. So audio could be used to make the organisation more accountable. So local government recording the internal sessions, particularly when public audiences haven't been allowed into council meetings. It can be used for thought leadership, not just the written thought leadership. There's research that shows that someone is much more likely to listen to a 30-minute audio, whether that's a podcast or just a recording, than they are to watch a 30-minute video, and much more likely to do that than they would be to read for 30 minutes on screen. So for thought leadership, which wants to go into things in some detail, perhaps a complex topic, audio could be a really good way for that organisation to show their expertise, to show some foresight in what they're doing in their sector. It can be used for internal communications. We have an example from one of our apprentices where they used internal comms at his council replacing a newsletter. They were looking at the analytics, the newsletter. Sometimes it was read, sometimes not. They replaced it with audio, a podcast every week. And it's got a massive increase. People like that more engaged conversational form for internal communications. So there's lots of possibilities. And to me, it's around finding what would make for effective communications for your organization, a company, public sector, or voluntary sector. What would really work?
Yes, that's a really interesting point, Alan. And I'd never thought about using audio for internal communications. One very much thinks of it as something that you do externally. One does podcasting, for example. I'd never thought of turning that around and thinking about an internal audience.
Yeah, it's worked for a council and they have the research to show it. The analytics show number of people who listen every week to the audio podcast internal communications is far higher than the number of people who opened the newsletter with that similar information in. People just find it more engaging as a communications format. So it works. Yes, it takes time, but honestly, so does putting together a good newsletter. So we've got someone with the skills who likes that sort of conversation, who likes asking questions, who's willing to do that little bit of editing of the audio track to make it high quality, then you've got a real possibility there for something that actually gets that message across that people find engaging, informative and useful.
Alan Anstead, thank you very much. You came on with the intention of telling us all to think about audio in the communications mix, and I think you've definitely given us all food for thought. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you, Kieran.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.